welcome to the latest edition of the Buy Them In NFC podcast. Tonight, Andy Patterson joins regulars Jay and Busta. Andy, welcome along, mate.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, for the first time in 2015, we are recording after a victory. 2-1 against Inverness on Saturday. Jay, it was an excellent performance from Motherwell on it right from the word go. We're pegged back at 1-1, but showed great character to go on and get the victory.
It's absolutely brilliant. It's a feeling that we've not really experienced too much this season. Let's not get too carried away. It wasn't a top class performance. It's not the kind of performance that was going to, you know, suddenly propel us up the league. But for what we've witnessed so far this season, it was fantastic. Both in terms of the actual performance itself and the effort and the determination from the players. You know, people who weren't at the game, if they watch the highlights on the BBC site, they won't really pick up on the fact that we dominated for the first half. Most of the first half, we were by far the better team. I think we had more shots in the first 20 minutes than we've had in the last, you know, 15 games or something like that. We were absolutely fantastic, flew out the traps, and it's definitely the performance of the season so far. So, you know, to get the win off was vital, because obviously when Inverness scored and then, you know, as the game wore on, it got a bit more scrappy, the weather was horrendous, the ball was really bouncing, and you did kind of fear that maybe it was going to be one of those sort of glorious failures where we've put everything into the match, a great performance, and don't get anything out of it. But come the winner, we definitely deserved all 3 points.
Andy, we made life difficult for ourselves, as we always do with the... Or particularly Simon Ramsden made life a lot more difficult for us, given he was sent off during the second half. It was one low point for me. He's guilty of it quite often, just been slightly rash, and he was again in this instance and deservedly saw a second booking and a red card.
I think it's possibly in keeping with Simon Ramsden's Motherwell career in general, it's kind of quite highs and lows. He didn't convince me at first whenever he came to the club. He had versatility, certainly, but, you know, whenever he was his first kind of couple of months in there, I would have been happier seeing like one of the younger players giving a run at centre half. But in fairness, he came on and had a really good spell, particularly the first 6 months of last season. But there's always been that kind of element where whenever he sees the red mist, he's liable to cost you. And we kind of got away with it, you know, to a certain extent, you know, on Saturday there. But, you know, he's been sent off, there's like 2 minutes to go, Conor Grant's down with cramp, and you're thinking it's like something daft like that could cost you, as Jay says, all the effort that's been put in. You know, it's one of the hardest working performances of the season, and, you know, if it's something really daft, just like a lunge that ultimately cost you, then that would have been really, really hard to take. But I say Ramers, he's kind of done that, you know, a couple of times. I think he gets red carded against Celtic earlier on in the season for something equally daft. You can't do that. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you and it's going to cost us. But in terms of Saturday, you know, we got away with it. Fantastic 3 points. So we move on. The fight goes on.
Busta, I know you weren't at the game on Saturday, but I'm sure you were keeping up to date via other methods. It was a kind of surprising team selection in the sense... The first thing that was noticeable was we didn't seem to be playing with a left back, and then Simon Ramsden slotted in there for the time that he was on the pitch. Scott McDonald signed on the Friday, returned to the team straight away, along with Stephen Pearson, who had a spell out with injury. Both made a great difference. I just want your take on McDonald, first and foremost. A welcome return?
Definitely. You know, I think, to be honest with you, we all knew we needed somebody up top. So, and I think it was even, you know, when he got released from Millwall, the fans were talking about we should go for Scott McDonald. So, when he actually signed, and then it was more when I actually listened to his interview he'd done on the MFC YouTube channel. He's brutally honest. He's saying, I want to come here, I want to play football. I want to score goals, I want to do this. And the way I got it was, he was basically saying, I want to do this, I want to do that. I want to put myself in the window, and if that happens to get Motherwell to 10th position, then, well, everybody will be happy. And, you know, that's the way he's always been. When he when he signed his pre-contract with Celtic, you know, everybody was upset at it, but he still ran his heart out, he still scored goals for us, so he's always been like that. When it came to the team selection, as you say, I thought it would be up top with John Sutton, but then when I seen it, I thought he was going to stick him up there himself. So I don't even know how he did set out, whether it was, you know, Lear went up beside him or what. I've watched the highlights, but yes, as Jay says, you don't really pick up anything through the highlights other than the, you know, the chances and the goals. So did they actually start with Lear went up top with him as well?
Yeah, Erwin played alongside him for most of the game, I would say.
And that's fair enough then, because I think it was blatantly obvious that, you know, the 4-5 or the 4-2-3-1, whatever, wasn't working, basically. But I think, as you say, well, even, you know, my father, who's he's a bit of an old boo boy, not necessarily vocally at the game, but comes home and tells me, oh, this and that and this, but he comes back and he says, Pearson and McDonald were the difference. Class apart, basically.
Jay, it kind of shows you the fickle nature of football fans. We sometimes are maybe a bit overly critical of our own supporters, but McDonald and Pearson, not many would have, of a Motherwell persuasion, would be expected to watch a Motherwell team with Scott McDonald and Stephen Pearson in it. And not only that, welcoming them back, but I think it's hard to dispute that these guys don't bring a substantial amount of quality that's been badly lacking in the squad this season.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, the word fickle and football supporters, it goes hand in hand. You know, I don't really follow any other sports, but it'd be interesting to know whether fans of any other sports are quite as incredibly fickle as football fans seem to be. Just to pick up, though, I think that I know Buster was saying that his dad had said about Pearson and McDonald making a difference, and of course they did. Pearson made the difference at Tannadice as well. You know, he's a great player, creating things, you know, hassling opponents. McDonald, you could see the class he's got, not just in terms of his ability, but also the way he talked to Erwin through the game. He was organising people. He was in constant contact with all the other players. You know, it was good to see another leader on the park. But for me, the difference in Saturday was the attitude and the performance of all the players. I don't think it's fair to sort of say that simply Pearson and McDonald made the difference. You know, Long made the difference with a phenomenal save at the boy's feet. It was the best game I've seen for McManus in some time. Lasley was back to his old self, some phenomenal challenges, and walked off the park head to toe in mud. You know, Josh Law, I mean, again, Josh Law for me is an unsung hero at Motherwell this season, because even when he's been poor or he's been completely sort of ignored by Motherwell fans, or I think even before he signed or before he played his first game, he was kind of dismissed as just being that, you know, we're only signing him because he's a younger brother than Nicky Law. And yet, what he lacks in maybe football ability, he makes up just running through brick walls for the club. And he did it again on Saturday. I thought he was fantastic again, apart from that header that led to Long save. So I think, yeah, Pearson and McDonald do offer things. Their ability, their experience, that will be invaluable. But for me on Saturday, it was just about every player on the park. Even Ramsden, before he got sent off, did a job at left back. So for me, rather than focusing on what Pearson and McDonald brought on Saturday, it was a full team effort.
Yeah, Andy, that was something that Ian Barraclough picked up on as well. He praised the guys that were left out. You've got guys like John Sutton, who has started every game under Ian Barraclough until Saturday. He went onto the bench, came on after 68 minutes. Lionel Ainsworth, who's come in for a great deal of criticism, and I would say rightfully so, comes on and maybe silences his critics a wee bit with a winning goal. Craig Moore also dropped out. Or down to the bench as well. He got on late on. All these guys put in a shift when they got the chance, though.
It was a team performance. I mean, that was it's good to have options when everybody's fit. I think when you looked at the strength of the bench that we had in comparison to even maybe like 3-4 weeks ago, we've got emerging talent on there, like some maybe like Cadden, you know, guys like that, but effectively they were there because we had, you know, David Ferguson perhaps is another one. Effectively they were there because we had no one else. Now we've actually got some choice on there. You know, we've got competition for places, which can only be a good thing. And we've still got the likes of, you know, Don Thomas, who didn't go on. You know, so it's positive that we have a kind of this variety of choices, you know, there now that we, you know, we didn't have a few weeks, you know, previous. You know, also there was Nathan Thomas, was another one who's been, since he signed, he was involved in a couple of games, who wasn't in the bench. So it kind of illustrates that, you know, when we get a couple of guys back, like Sir Pearson, McDonald, that, you know, we do have some strength and depth there. The new guys that are coming in, you know, with each passing week, they're going to be further and further integrated into things. So we've got our performance coaches in there, we've got a new assistant manager, which I think can only, you know, push things as well in terms of, you know, pushing the tactics and getting the manager's message across. So it's certainly a massive swing for me as to how things looked even 7 days ago. I mean, it looked really, really desperate. You know, a supposedly must-win game against Dundee. We're absolutely dreadful, all for nothing. And everybody saw the enthusiasm. You know, the buzz was back as people were leaving on Saturday. We were, you know, couldn't wait for the next fixture to come. So we're building what's happened, you know, at the weekend there, and you know, hopefully push on from here.
Yeah, just another wee bit of good news coming through tonight. Luke Watt penning a 3.5-year deal with the club. Jade Watt wasn't involved on Saturday, wasn't in the 18. But it seems to be the direction the club's going in, and it's been intimated that would be the case, securing young talent with the end objective, I'd imagine, of making a profit off these guys. Watt, when he's come in, has done a very good job, I think. I'm looking forward to seeing how his career progresses, given he's only six months into his professional career.
Yeah, definitely. I think, no doubt we'll discuss the AGM in a bit, but, you know, I saw Andy's summary of the AGM on Steelman Online, and I noted the emphasis on the fact that budgets will be cut this summer, and it's going to be, you know, the youth that are going to take us forward, which I think we've all been expecting. So it's good to know that we are preparing for that. You know, long-term deals, that's kind of, I think, what we've all been crying out for quite some time. You look at the other clubs that we're constantly referring to, Dundee United, Hearts, Hibs, you know, the Aberdeen. The clubs who, when bids come in, say, well, no, we don't value them at that much. They've still got 3 or 4 years to go on their contract, so we're going to hang on to them. You know, I think it was only last summer or along those lines that Dundee United, well, maybe not last summer, but, you know, a couple of years ago, they handed a 5-year deal to Ryan Gold, which allowed them a lot of, you know, negotiation. You know, they had a lot of ability to put the price up on the basis of the fact they had a talented young player on a long-term deal. So it's more the length of the contracts that I'm interested in, and I'm encouraged by a 3.5-year deal, because it's not something we really do too regularly. So if that is the way forward, not just playing young players, but actually getting them tied down to the club with a view to develop them to the point where they actually become first team regulars or even are sold for profit, then yeah, that's definitely the future. So if what's the first of many, then yeah, bring it on.
But Andy intimated it in his last comment there. We were talking about how bleak it looked last Monday doing the podcast. It was the most depressing 45 minutes of my life, I would say. But amazing how quickly things turn around. You've Gian Barraclough, who a lot of the knives out for. I must admit that I'm still not 100% convinced myself, but that was a massive result and a massive turning point, certainly in Gian Barraclough's time at Motherwell. What's your take? Is your opinion changed much of the manager?
I've always sort of been in the opinion that you know whether or not we go down will, you know, decide his fate, I think. Maybe not decide his fate, but will decide how I at least feel about him. Obviously, everybody else in the, you know, the stands will feel about him. The fact that we'd lost 8 games in a row, whatever it was obviously awful. Everybody, as you say, was getting on his back. You know, there's not many people out there backing that up anymore after one win. So, you know, again, as you say, that's the way football fans are. But I don't know, to be honest with you, if we can, you know, if we can get at least another point or something on Saturday. Obviously you're running for 3, but if we can get another point on Saturday, keep a bit of momentum about us, you know, basically don't lose. That's all I know it sounds simple when I say don't lose, but you know, that's been a hard thing for us this year. So Barraclough, I think everything's set out right, you know. I don't know how much involvement he's had in the, you know, the background things, the scouting, things like that. You know, everything is going perfectly by the sounds of things that way. But on the park, it had been awful. But hopefully, you know, this will be the turning point.
Andy, was Saturday maybe an indication that the things behind the scenes are very unified in terms of everyone trying their heart out for the cause, and there certainly was no slackers?
Well, certainly, I mean, there was not that they're ever going to say anything in public anyway, but everything in terms of the AGM, the perception was that, you know, it's very much a long term. They certainly weren't going to take any knee-jerk reactions or anything like that. Nothing gave you any kind of hint that, you know, Barraclough wouldn't be there for the, you know, the long term. And I think where we kind of speculate as supporters sometimes, I think it was one of you guys last week made the point about the board will take care of things regardless of whatever fans are saying. And I think that's exactly right, and that's exactly what would happen anyway. But at the AGM, certainly last week, there was... remember the kind of point that Mark Wilson was making in the BBC website last week? And one of the things that kind of Barraclough had said was, he was asked about the kind of training, you know, methods, the new guys that have been involved in there. And it was encouraged. They gave a positive answer in terms of like how the players were adapting to these methods. You know, he said that the senior players in particular were very encouraged by it, and, you know, they'd seen the kind of benefits of some of the, you know, the processes and routines that he wanted to get involved in it for extending their careers. And he'd also made an interesting point that not only was he getting positive feedback about the, you know, the training from the players, it was actually from other people that seemingly the players had been speaking to. So that for me, it wasn't a case of the everyone's all happy and rosy, as, you know, you'd maybe read in the programmes and the website and the, you know, the kind of papers and stuff, but, you know, it seemed to be kind of, you know, behind the scenes he was getting positive feedback as well. So that was encouraging for me, and it certainly illustrated that, you know, everybody was, you know, was all pushing in the right direction, you know, despite the kind of conversations and some of the, you know, you were reading in forums and what have you.
I thought that was all incredibly harsh in Stephen McManus. It was kind of almost, he was singled out as being the one that was responsible for the Mark Wilson story. As far as I could see, though, it was just a comment regarding about a surprise that we didn't sign a striker. I'm pretty sure McManus, if he did speak to Mark Wilson at all, it was perfectly innocent. I don't think he was planting a story in the media or anything like that.
Well, what I said about that as well was that there was nothing even said on that wee short article, if you can call it an article, because I believe they pulled it off. I'm talking live on radio during a game or something, but there was nothing in that was inaccurate. So I don't see what everybody got in a, you know, basically got in a big fuss about.
Yeah, I think you're just, it's basically a perfect example of, you know, the fans already being in a bit of a frenzy. You know, everything's rubbish, everything's negative, everybody's moaning, and something like that crops up, and everybody just latches a pot of light on top of it, even though there's absolutely no, you know, story in it whatsoever. You know, Mark Wilson basically said that one of the players thought the exact same thing as the rest of us. We were surprised we didn't buy a striker. Brilliant. You know, I don't understand the full, you know,
ferrari over that at all.
What Andy was just saying as well about the, you know, the players and all that being right into Barraclough's new methods and stuff, as he touched on as well, there was, you know, blatant made up rumours that the players weren't happy because he had them in doing yoga twice a week or whatever it was, and that just goes to show, you know, I don't think MD actually believed that anyway, but just goes to show how much shit can be talked if you, and how many people probably believe that.
I think the thing is, when results off the park results on the park aren't going well, then there's always going to be negative stories emanating from the place, and maybe some of these players had it too good for too long under the previous manager as well, where they had become a wee bit, things had stagnated slightly, and it's maybe now the time for new methods, because something needs to change to improve results. And if it's yoga twice a week, then so be it. But I think now that he's got a good result to go back on, we can now kind of look forward, whereas he was just marginally keeping his head above water up until Saturday, I think.
I agree with that. One of the things that annoyed me during that that eight game losing streak, whatever it was, sorry, there was his positivity. He was incredibly positive. He always had nice things to say, and he always cracked a wee smile. And that annoyed me. I wanted to see him upset and annoyed. No doubt he got upset and annoyed, but you know, at least I've not watched him his post match interview yet. But at least this time he'll have something to smile about.
Well, as I said last week, you know, I wasn't going to jump in the Barraclough out bandwagon, but I think, I mean, we even spoke about it in the pub before the game, Sparra, the idea that, you know, he might be the right man at the wrong time. You know, he might turn us around, he might have this great vision, and he might do a brilliant job of working towards it, but our problem was the fact that he didn't seem to be able to adapt in the short term. He didn't seem to be able to adapt his tactics and his style of play and his team selection to the fact that we were in a problem. We were in, you know, we needed an urgent reaction to it, otherwise we were going to go down. So if Saturday, you know, becomes a consistent performance, level of performance, consistent you know, results, then I think we can say, okay, maybe it took him a while, but he's finally adapted. But if Saturday turns out to be another Tannadice where you come away thinking, right, that's it, the season's turned around, and, you know, it doesn't happen, then I think we'll be back to the negative thoughts that maybe he just can't do it in the short term.
Just quickly before we go into the AGM, the scenario on Saturday was slightly disappointing in the sense that St Mirren, Ross County and Partick Thistle all recorded victories. How much a dampener will that have put in spirits, Andy, given that you're obviously wanting one or two of your rivals to slip up? It's a very strange scenario that all four of the bottom four clubs win in the same day.
I actually think in terms of Saturday, it won't have phased us too much at all. I mean, certainly you looked at the fixtures beforehand, and certainly Dundee beat us last week, but they were by no manner of means startling. They're in a form that Hamilton have been on. You know, they seem to have plummeted since Neil left to go to Norwich. So for me, I mean, St Mirren beating them is no great shock. Ross County, with a bit of momentum behind them, Dundee not being particularly, you know, startling last week, that wasn't a shock either. To be perfectly honest, I haven't really paid too much attention to Partick Thistle at the moment. But I think when they come off the park on Saturday, they will have been more surprised at us picking up 3 points against Cali than Motherwell players' management will have been, having seen the two of them pick up wins. I say Thistle, I've not really looked at them too much. I don't know, I think it's maybe 7 or 8 points ahead. But, you know, first things first, let's get to 10th and then start looking up. But I don't think we'll be too bothered about what happened, you know, elsewhere. The key thing is just, first and foremost, we look after ourselves. And if we can, you know, maintain the level of performance, the level of commitment, as we've seen on Saturday there, then you would like to think that's going to take care of most teams.
I kind of agree with that. It's just, basically, what my thought is, we can't rely on anybody else. You know, we've got to do it ourselves. However, I was sitting in work on Saturday. We were 1-0 up. Within 2 minutes, both St Mirren and Ross County had scored goals each, and then Inverness scored. And I don't think I'd ever look sadder, to be honest with you. Seeing my reflection in the computer screen, I don't think I'd ever look sadder. But I agree that we can't be relying on these teams getting beat. We're going to have to beat them, basically.
I think it all depends on your outlook as well. If you're a glass half empty kind of person, you'll think, oh, you know, sod's law, we win, and then the other teams win. But then if you turn that around and say, well, just as well we won, because other teams won, you know, that's the way I like to think about it. You know, it's positive, we get a victory, and just as well.
Oh, I don't know, if you're a Motherwell supporter, your glass tends to be completely empty, or I think it's just ingrained in you. But we'll look at the AGM, Andy, and given that you were there, it makes sense to talk to you about it. It seemed from your summary that you posted online that there was a lot of positives came out the evening.
I thought so. The usual kind of rundown of things is they kind of get the kind of formal business out of the way, and then the kind of floor's generally there for the manager, if he's present in the evening, to do a kind of summary, ask a few questions, and any of the kind of board members about any kind of topics that come up. And it was certainly, you know, I came away quite encouraged by it. both in terms of like the, you know, the kind of short to medium term future of the club with the, you know, Les Hutchinson's investment and, you know, giving us a bit more time in terms of the Welsh society kind of set up to go forward in that score. The infrastructure behind the scenes in terms of the players, you know, the recent investment in there, getting the new assistant manager in, the different methods we've, you know, kind of discussed already this evening. You know, it definitely looks like a plan has been put in place there. Flo, he done a kind of wee cameo on there as well, discussing, you know, a couple of things, and, you know, he was talking about, and, you know, getting a kind of marketing sales kind of expert coming in, which should really drive things forward in that score as well. So, you know, it's all kind of encouraging stuff. You know, definitely look as if, you know, the involvement of, you know, other business people in there who, you know, have been successful in their fields, that they're going to be able to put their, you know, their kind of plans in place, you know, their ideas, and, you know, we look as if we're going to, you know, we're going to benefit from it. I mean, one of the things that actually, in terms of going back to the Hutchinson's takeover or, you know, investment, is it plays me in a certain extent that it doesn't really strike me as being that bothered about the football element of it. Obviously, it's vital, you know, that's what we're there for as a club. But it wasn't like, you know, he's not coming in like John Boyle did, and we're going to be like the third force, that kind of thing. You know, the football is a kind of, it's almost gives me the impression that it's like a kind of a byproduct to do all these other, you know, things that he'd like to do in terms of using the club as a vehicle for, you know, his kind of plans and, you know, linking out to the community and things like that. And I think in a way that's a good thing, because it's going to be focused on various different levels. It's not just going to be a case, as we've seen in kind of recent years, that every penny we've had goes into the budget to try and, you know, run to stand still where we are. That we're now going to have, you know, proper kind of plans in place that over time are hopefully going to, you know, help us make money, be self-sufficient, move forward as a club. And then in tandem with that, that's going to help us, you know, progress as a, you know, on the park as well with the plans that we made about bringing in, you know, different scouts, increasing the, you know, the kind of the avenues that we're looking for players, and eventually following the process through where you sell your players, you make money, and, you know, you keep your club going forward and, you know, sustainable. So certainly all very encouraging.
Was Hutchinson present on the night?
No. He's Leanne was there. Leanne Thomas. It was Peter Kelly. He was one of the other kind of new board members. The rest of the crowd were guys that were familiar with, like Derek Weir and Brian McCafferty and Jim McMahon. But the, you know, Kelly and Thomas, they were the kind of new board members that were there. I think it was another one. Didn't recognise the name. And Ian Reid, I believe, was mentioned. But not familiar with them, but they were there. So
they
very brief. Brian asked them, you know, could they introduce themselves and, you know, what would they bring to the table? It was like very, very brief, kind of, you know, they were there, they're Motherwell fans, they want to do the best for the club, and, you know, what you know, skills and expertise they had they would look to bring to progress the club, basically. Nothing specific wise there.
No, that's all I was going to ask. I was just going to ask, did they actually say anything? Did they speak or anything? You know, what did they say about themselves? But that's fair enough. Does any of them post in Steelman online?
I know where you're going with that one, but I certainly wasn't going to ask it.
Yeah, we'll move swiftly on. Saturday, Kilmarnock at Fir Park, a rearranged fixture. I suppose it's more of the same. The Inverness game was very much a must-win, and well, you're in the situation we're in. Every game's a must-win just now. Jay, Kilmarnock have had a pretty good time under Gary Locke in the early part of 2015. A difficult game, but very much like Inverness and Dundee in the weeks before. It's a winnable game.
Yeah, I think even more so now. You know, you'd like to think there's a lot of confidence taken for the performance on Saturday, both, you know, on the park and in the stands, hopefully. You know, I thought the atmosphere was good on Saturday. It was a good example of how, you know, when the players put the effort in, they'll get a reaction from the fans. And it's only when, you know, there's that perceived lack of determination or that lack of work ethic that the more
supportive the fans go quiet and the more negative fans, you know, you can suddenly hear them. So it's definitely a winnable game. You know, I think it's interesting the fact that I think last week, I think it was Buster said that, you know, the Inverness game, we would probably expect to lose, but Kilmarnock was probably the game where, you know, if we didn't win it, then you would really considered as favourites for the drop. So it's an interesting position we're in now, having you know, just won the game on Saturday. I'd like to think that if we go into the game with the same mentality, the same performance levels, you know, based on the fact that Kilmarnock sort of they had a good wee start under Gary Lockie, seemed to get a reaction from them, but they're not you know, they're nothing great. And so I would, you know, by all accounts, I think was it 0-0 with them last week?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, one of the Kelly boys sort of said that it was kind of a soul-destroying game. So, you know, if Kilmarnock are having a wee lull and we turn up with the same performance and the same effort that we put in on Saturday, then there is no reason whatsoever that we can't take all 3 points. And it feels weird to say that after, you know, the past 8 or 9 weeks. But, yeah, we've got to look at it as a game that we can definitely take all 3 points from.
For me, what's weird as well is actually really looking forward to football again. It's amazing how much has changed in just the case of a week. But I think the re-emergence of McDonald and Stephen Pearson being back, it's quite an exciting time, isn't it, Buster, despite the fact we're bottom of the league?
It certainly is. I'm back Saturday. I'm not working this weekend, so you see, I'm looking forward to going to the football. I'm looking forward to Scott McDonald scoring. I had a feeling when he signed he was going to have a semi decent game and probably score a goal or two against Kilmarnock. So I think I'm pretty confident again going into this one. So it would be good to get back there. Hopefully it'll be a semi decent crowd. I was actually unsure when this game was. This is the rearranged one we mentioned, isn't it?
Yes. The roof fell off the stand or something like that.
I was going through the fixtures, looking for a midweek fixture, and I thought to myself, I don't know when that rearranged game is. I don't know where our game in hand is, but that's fair enough. If it's this one, then we really need to take advantage of it as well. If it's our game we've got in hand,
yeah.
Just on the excitement.
As well.
So I was just going to say there. I just think on the excitement. I don't know even if the excitement or the interest and the enthusiasm of going back to the game. I don't even think it's just because, you know, we won the game or because there's McDonald and Pearson there. I think it's just a reaction to seeing, you know, a gutsy performance where players get stuck in. You know, you look at like Louis Lang's late challenge, you know, blocking the ball. Josh Law throwing himself into challenges. There was a Keith Lansley challenge in the end of their own box. You know, that's what you want to see as a Motherwell fan. You want to see, you know, players getting stuck in. You want to see that determination. Obviously you want to see your team win, you want to see goals, you want to see good football, but I think it's that kind of genuinely gets you back excited, and you're sort of getting into the game thinking that we're all in it together again, rather than the sort of divide there seemed to have sort of formed between the fans and the players. It's that sort of renewed sort of us against the world kind of feeling, I think, rather than just the fact we've won the game.
I think you saw that evidenced at the end, you know, like Sir Lasley was over there trying to whip up the boys at full time, and Steve McManus was over giving it, you know, big clenched fist to the stand. So that was definitely, you know, as you say, like a kind of reconnection. If ever there was something wasn't as it was, you know, definitely looked to be a reconnection and at the end of the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing, and we've said it so many times on the podcast that it's not the fact that we were going out and getting beat most weeks that was the thing that really stuck with us. It was the lack of, or what we perceived to be a lack of fight and a lack of spirit, and that was shown in abundance on Saturday. So if they've rediscovered that, they've rediscovered it at the perfect time for me, and it's, I think if we play to the level we did on Saturday, and Ian Barraclough thinks we can play even better than that, then I really believe that we'll stay up.
Well, there's always the, you know, we're due a wee run. We've certainly not had a wee run up until now, so as you say, maybe now is the right time to put one or two results together.
Yep, I'd say so. Guys, thanks very much for your time. As always, back next Monday.
Aye.
Of course.
Andy, thanks very much, mate. We'll have you on very soon again, I would hope. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you, certainly have. It's a pleasure to be on.
You've been listening to the By the Minute MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thanks and good night. It's true, pink and blue, I can share your situation, keeping hold on our emotions, they will only make us cry, and you go, I know, but you know. Shine on everything you do in the sky.